All right, well, we're continuing our series, and I'm real excited about this one today. We've been talking about the parables, the different parables of Yeshua. We can't, of course, go into all of them, but I tried to pick out some ones that I think would bless us and would really show us the heart of what the Lord is trying to do with the parables. So we're going to continue, and I really want to dive right into this idea today of the heart of God. What's the heart of God? And we hear all the time, you know, God is love, right? We hear God is love. That's 1 John 4:16. God is love. Many of us know this. We know this. We're taught this every week, right? We're taught this all the time. But do we really know how much God loves us? Do we really know? Many of us have a hard time believing that God is love or that God loves us. Because God in His mercy can forgive any sin that we might have, right? But a lot of times, we're the ones that can't forgive us about our sins. So God forgives us. We get that, and we feel like it's just something in the sky, like, okay, God forgives me. But we have a hard time understanding the depths of His love, but also accepting that and saying, well, He can even forgive my dirty stuff, my things that I've messed up in. But God is love. And if we believe the scriptures, we have to believe that God is love and that He loves us. And we need to get that deep in our hearts. We need to understand that if we're saying, well, I'm kind of unlovable or I've done too many things, that we're preventing God from doing what He's supposed to be doing. We're preventing God from doing His thing. And we don't want to stand in the way of what God is doing. Ephesians 2:4. Let's turn there. Ephesians 2:4 tells us that, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love for which He loved us. Again, it doesn't say things like, God likes us a lot, maybe even loves us, if we behave, right? If we behave. He says He loves us. He's rich in mercy to us because of the great love He has for us. Even when we screw up, obviously God doesn't like sin. God can't fellowship with sin. But God is right there to call us back in, to tell us how much He loves us. Yeshua uses parables to demonstrate to us the love of God, right? He breaks it down for us. He tries to get it from being up there in the sky, oh, God loves me, He can forgive me, all this stuff. And Yeshua tries to take that and bring it down to our hearts and bring it down to us and get us to really see it. Frequently, He illustrates God as a shepherd, okay? And even Yeshua is a shepherd. The shepherd cares for his sheep. Obviously, that's what a shepherd does. The shepherd is a person who herds, tends, and guards sheep. That's the dictionary definition. A shepherd is a person who herds, tends, and guards sheep. The shepherd's job is to care for his flock of sheep. That means he's supposed to guard them against predators, right? You got predators that come in. They want to kill the sheep. They want to get the sheep. He's a protection against those predators. That means that the shepherd, God, tends to the sheep, tends to us, feeds them, provides for them. You know, we think a lot of times people, even religious people or quote-unquote Christians or believers, think that God is this absentee landlord. He's up there. He's watching over us, making sure we're good. But we can kind of do whatever we want around here, and we just got to do a really good job and make Him pleased. And He's this pie in the sky God up there, very distant, but yet looking down on us. But God is one who provides for us, who feeds us, who gives us things. So that's an active role. You know, if you have a parent that's an absent parent, they're not there to provide for you. But if you have a parent that's hands-on with you as a kid and that's with you in the house and feeding you all the meals, you know, when you're a brand new baby, you're totally helpless. Babies are totally helpless. They need the parent to constantly feed them, to constantly help them. And that's how God is for us. He's that shepherd that's feeding us, that's providing for us. But also, besides guarding us and providing for us, He herds us, doesn't He? He kind of herds us, shows us the way to go. Because that shepherd takes care of us, the sheep. So let's get to the idea of sheep. Let's just say that sheep are not the most intelligent animals. In fact, they're frequently thought of as very unintelligent, or shall I say, dumb animals. They have this flocking behavior, and they have this quickness to flee and panic when things don't go right. This is sheep. I'm talking about the actual animal, the sheep. They have this quickness to flee and panic, which can make shepherding a very difficult job for the uneducated and the uninitiated, right? You can always see, you know, you have these iconic scenes of the shepherd, you know, kind of nudging the sheep to stay in the pen, because they tend to just like fly out here and there and go wherever they're going to go. And it can be a tough job shepherding sheep because they're quick to flee and they're quick to panic. So God or Yeshua is the shepherd. We, of course, are the sheep. And God's role is to herd and to tend and to guard us. He does all those things if we let him. Our role is to follow the shepherd and to stay within the sheep pen. Okay? Turn with me to Luke chapter 15, 3 through 7. We're going to study about the parable of the lost sheep today. So he, Yeshua, told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Now, the parable of the lost sheep is like very simplistic, very easy to understand. The shepherd loves the sheep, puts the sheep on the shoulders, brings the sheep back in. I'm not going to really dwell on that, but I want you to look at some things with me today as we go through this parable, because I want to demonstrate, and I want to go back to that idea of God is that loving shepherd. He loves us. He cares for us. He wants us to be with him. So there's three things that really spoke to me about this parable that I think we can really learn today. And number one, sheep need a shepherd, obviously. Sheep need a shepherd. Of course, it said that sheep who are relatively unintelligent, i.e. dumb, tend to stray. When they stray and get away from the flock, they get really agitated, they get really uneasy. This is how sheep are as animals. And it's said that they will actually look, they want a shepherd. So they'll look and they will literally find the first person or the first thing, and oh, that's my shepherd. They're so agitated, they need a shepherd. And they'll find literally the first person. I always remember this story. Many of you seasoned people in the audience, like me, I'm getting that way. Remember the singer in the 60s, Cat Stevens, right? You remember Cat Stevens? Now he's got some Muslim name because he converted to Islam years ago. And basically, his whole story, if I remember it correctly, was he was drowning and he was praying to the higher being or whatever. He was not religious at all. He was praying and he said to the higher being, "Whoever you are, you know, if you'll get me out of this, if you'll save me, I'll follow you." And it was some Muslim that he came upon that saved him or something, or pulled him out or did something. So obviously he converted to Islam. So we're sheep, okay? He's a sheep, we're a sheep. He clung to the first thing that he saw, which was Islam, unfortunately. You know, and people do this with all different types of religions. Sheep need something. Sheep need a shepherd. They need somebody to lead them. They need somebody to tend to them. We can't tend to ourselves. They need somebody to guard them. We can't guard ourselves all the time. And so we're going to look for that shepherd somewhere. And these sheep, they're just the first person they find, they want to grab onto and say, "Would you be my shepherd?" You know. They look for the first thing. We're just like that as humans. We are relatively fickle people. We tend to go in different directions throughout our lives. Even the best of us strays and wanders sometimes in different areas of our lives. We can chase after this dream or this goal, or, oh, I think I want to do this now because this seems fun and this seems great. And we go after all these things that pull us out of that sheep pen, right? That take us away And then we're left like, where am I? And we get agitated. And we do irrational things. And we mess up and we get into trouble. And we need that shepherd to keep us in the fray. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36. And Yeshua went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. How cool is that? And verse 36, when Yeshua saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Listen, have you ever felt harassed and helpless like without a shepherd in your life? I have. And we tend to, you know, people tend to cling to the craziest things when you don't have the true shepherd in front of you. They'll cling to whatever's in front of them. They'll cling to money. They'll cling to a job. They'll cling to a person, a spouse, a significant other, whatever. They'll cling to their kids. We're looking for a shepherd in our lives. Yeshua came to be that shepherd to us because we are sheep and we have drifted. Isaiah 53:6. The scriptures all point to the fact that Yeshua is that shepherd for us. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. That doesn't say like, oh, the real weak of us, you know, the ones that are, you know, can't handle things in the world. You know, they always say religion's a crutch for people. Well, listen, those people have their religion. It's probably themselves. They believe in themselves as God. All, not some, not most, all we, like sheep, have gone astray, right? We've gone out of the fray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. How great of a shepherd do we have that not only is he a shepherd, but he's taken our iniquity. All that crazy stuff we did when we strayed, he said, don't worry about it. I got it covered. I'll take it on for you so you can get back to that sheep pen. The problem is when we say, well, we don't need a shepherd. I don't need a shepherd. Or we reject the good shepherd, Yeshua. This can happen all the time. We do it all the time in various degrees. There's people out there that are just so vehemently opposed to the Lord. Even when the prompting of the Lord is there, they just don't want a shepherd. They don't want the good shepherd. They could do it themselves. They can handle it themselves. And that can be pretty dangerous, even for religious people. So we're looking at the good shepherd, Luke 15:3-7, but let's go to Luke 15:1-2. I want you to look at the context of what happened here. What was going on? Why did he talk about this lost sheep? Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." This was the context. And then Yeshua tells them the parable, okay? This is the context that we're talking about. The Pharisees were very upset that Yeshua was hanging out with sinners. But these sinners were the ones coming to Yeshua. They were coming to Yeshua because they were lost. They were out of the sheep pen. And I want to just stop here for a minute because we have this, there's always this tug of war, especially in the world today, between, as believers, between this thing called grace and this thing called truth, right? We got a lot of truth. We know the Word of God. We know what sin is. But then we have grace. And unfortunately, people are on either extreme today in the body, and it's detrimental, right? You have people that are so high on truth that they don't want to have any grace to anybody. And to me, the Pharisees were high on truth, right? But then you also have people, and really we don't see a lot of commentary on them in the scripture, but they're high on grace. And this is a lot of stuff that's going on today in the body. Don't judge people. Oh, it's fine. People could come in and with their sin and just be in sin and hang out because Yeshua ate with the sinners and tax collectors. Well, yes, he did. You know, the whole come as you are thing is great, but you come as you are, but you don't stay that way. All right? You come as you are and you recognize your need for the shepherd and you repent of your sins. Yeshua doesn't say, hey, come party with me. Come hang out with me. You can sin, but I just want everybody to be together and everything be okay. No, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that at all. And I think today we being the world and somewhat of the body, is all about just this inclusive Yeshua that just loves everybody. Just come on in. You know, just come on in. If you want to do this, it's okay. You know what I'm talking about. It's so prevalent in the world. We have to say, listen, Yeshua did eat with the sinners and tax collectors. And we have to have mercy. But we also have to recognize that we have sin in our lives and we need to get rid of that sin. Okay? What was Yeshua's message when he came? It wasn't, come on, hang out with me. Come as you are. It's okay to stay in your sin. It was Matthew 4:17. What's Matthew 4:17? From that time, Yeshua began to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He wasn't saying, hey, come on in. It's okay. You can just be you. He was saying, listen, folks, repent. But tax collectors and sinners were flocking to him, not because he was the guy to hang out with and sin with, because he was the guy that was saying, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the shepherd. I'm going to tend for you. I'm going to guard you. I'm going to take care of you. They could sense it. People were drawn to him. But he's saying, listen, you got to get rid of some stuff in your life. We as sheep have to get rid of this sin in our lives. We have to recognize that the shepherd is saying, come on in, but we need to work on some things in our lives here. You have things you need to work on in your life, because I know you do, because I do. All right? We all have things we need to work on as sheep. But whether we realize it or not, we absolutely need a shepherd. Even the Pharisees needed a shepherd. They just didn't want to admit it, and that pride got in the way of wanting to of seeing their need. So that's the first thing. Sheep need a shepherd. And thank goodness we have the shepherd of Yeshua. Number two, though. The shepherd loves and pursues us. This is very important. This goes back to the whole idea. God loves us and pursues us. You may feel unlovable. You may feel like you've done too many bad things that he's not going to come after you anymore because, ugh, you know, I've just screwed up so many times and he's done with me. But that's not what it is. The shepherd loves us and pursues us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that what? He gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his son. He didn't just say, here's Yeshua, believe in him. He allowed Yeshua to die for our sins. That's how much God loves us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, us dumb sheep is what we're talking about. For our sake, he, God the Father, made him, Yeshua the Son, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him, in Yeshua the Son, we might become the righteousness of God. God brought Yeshua to be sin for us. That's how much God loves and pursues us. He took on our sin, Yeshua. He took the fall for us. How many of you would take the fall for people? You know, when you're a kid and you're kind of hanging out and somebody, one of your friends is doing something bad and they get caught, you're not going to take the fall for them. You're going to be like, he did it, you know. That was me. It wasn't me at all. But look, how many people are going to take the fall or the crimes for somebody? In our country, we have this thing called the rule of law. That means if you mess up and you commit a crime, you will be prosecuted or you will pay for that crime. Not the person next to you. Not your cousin. Not your friend. You are responsible for what you did. Parents don't take the punishment for their kids' crimes in this country, right? You have kids that commit crimes, whether they're juvenile or not. We don't say to the parents, oh, your kid really, you know, shoplifted or your kid killed somebody or whatever. You're going to jail. That's not how it works. That person has to answer for their own crimes in this country. And really, that's the rule of law. But what Yeshua did was he said, you committed a murder, I'll take the fall for you. You can go. You're free to go. That's how much God loves us. That's how much that shepherd wants us. When the sheep stray, the shepherd goes after them to bring them back in, because he loves us and he pursues us. Psalm 72:12. For he, the Lord, delivers the needy when he calls, when the poor calls. The needy calls. The poor and him who has no helper. Okay? For he delivers the needy when he calls. He loves us. The poor and who has no helper. When we lose our way, when we drift off the path as sheep, we can cry out to God. We can cry out to our shepherd, and he'll deliver us. Look at Psalm 18:3. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Okay? Maybe you did something bad to your enemies, and they're coming after you for retribution. I call upon the Lord. I deserve some bad punishment, but I call upon the Lord, and he's going to save me. He's going to deliver me. God loves you. God pursues after you. God will take the fall for you. That's how much he loves you. That's how we have to realize how much this shepherd wants us with him. How much this shepherd. It's like that shepherd looking for that one lost sheep. You're the one lost sheep. The other 99 are hanging out safe in the pen. He's going to go after you because he loves you. Because he died for you. That's how much he loves you. He'll come to us. He'll deliver us. He'll save us. And he'll bring us back to that pen. You know what? He's not going to come and go like, come on, get back. Dragging us, you know, by our hair or by our feet or whatever. He's going to put us on his shoulder, bring us back to the pen. That's how much he loves you. And he wants you back. And now we get to the third point today. So we need a shepherd, right? People need a shepherd. We all, even if we think we don't, sheep need a shepherd. And that shepherd loves us and pursues us. But we have to choose to be found, right? We have to choose to be found. The shepherd is not, like I said, he's not going to grab you and drag you back to the sheep pen. He's not going to take you against your will and bring you back in the fold. You have to choose to raise your hand and say, I need help, right? I am a lost sheep. I need help. We have to call on him. We have to recognize our need. People come to know the Lord usually, not all the ways. People come to know the Lord usually when they're like at a really low point in their life, when they're at a valley and they can't get out. And that's when they cry out. Because all you can do when you're in that pit, like Joseph, right? All you can do is look up to try to see some daylight. And when you cry out to him, he will find you and deliver you. But you got to cry out. You have to seek him. You have to say, I want to be found. You have to say, I want to go back with you in the sheep pen. We have to choose the Lord. We got to choose to be found. You know, we try to fix our own problems. We try to deal with things ourselves. We try to help other people out rather than letting the Lord help us out and the Lord help them out. It's great to help people. But why don't we pray that people would cry out to the Lord? Pray that they get to the point. And I'm not saying pray for people that have troubles to where they can only look up to the Lord. But pray that their hearts would be opened. Pray that their hearts would be soft. Pray that they would realize they need a shepherd. They need to cry out to him. It's an active thing. You know, God, you have to reach out a little bit. It's like I've always said this is, you know, you and God are on either side. And God's not going to just run to you and grab you and bring you. You've got to like come towards him. But let me tell you, all you got to do is come a little bit. And he's like, oh, okay, you want to come. Let's go. That's how God is. You got to show him, though, Lord, that you want to be found. You got to show him that you want to be found. You have to get to the point where you have no hope of doing it yourself. You have no hope of being saved yourself. You got to cry out to that higher power. You know, like Cat Stevens, he was crying out for somebody. And unfortunately, who he found was not the right person, not the right emissary of the right person. But we got to cry out. And there's so many great stories of people that were just completely just down and out, had nothing, and God came through. And they reached up, and God pulled them, and the rest is history, and they're serving the Lord. That's awesome. But we got to reach out for that shepherd. You know, Jewish people have been searching for something. Our Jewish people are like lost sheep, many of them. For 2,000 years, the Jewish people are the wandering people, right? They have no homeland, 2,000 years, persecuted, misunderstood, through all the Crusades, through all the Spanish Inquisition, the Holocaust, all these things, we're running around outside of the sheep pen, right? Looking for our shepherd, agitated, don't know what to do. Jewish people, especially in America, but even in other countries today, are into every single thing to try to find every type of shepherd. And so many times it's not the Lord. But, you know, Jewish people today, their shepherds are money, power, Buddha, you know, any other of the religions, you know, more and more Jewish people, more Jewish people than you think are in the New Age movement. They're searching for something. We're seeking, you know, we're a seeking people. But they're crying out for something. They want something. They know that they're lost. Jewish people, we know that we're lost many times. But it's really up to somebody to share who the Good Shepherd is with them. Who the Good Shepherd is. And we are praying here at Karen Orr. Our whole mission exists. Why we exist is to show Jewish people, and really all people in this area, that there is a true shepherd. There is somebody that loves us and pursues us. There is somebody that wants a relationship with us. There is somebody that's not going to let us down, because, you know, the money, the power, Buddha, whatever, they're going to let you down. But the Lord, the Good Shepherd, will never let you down. He'll never get tired of coming and looking for you and putting you on his shoulders and bringing you back to the sheep pen. All those other things, they'll get tired of looking for you. They'll get tired. You know, your job is great, but one day you may lose your job. Okay? So, oh, that didn't work out being my shepherd. Or, you know, unfortunately, relationships sometimes don't work out with friends or whatever. We can't rely on these things. We have to rely on the one shepherd that could bring us back to the sheep pen and restore our souls, and that is Yeshua. So we are sheep. We need a shepherd, and that shepherd, the only shepherd for us that's really going to be lasting for us is Yeshua. It's wonderful to tell people, you know, make something of yourself, be a good person, do this, do that, educate people, but we need to point them to the Good Shepherd. That's the only rest for their souls. That's the only way that they're going to be reconnected. We've got to show them that, hey, you're a sheep. I'm a sheep too. There's a sheep pen over here. All you got to do is put your hand up, cry out to the Lord, and that shepherd's going to come running for you. But you got to cry out. You got to recognize your need. One more scripture for you. 1 Peter 2:25. For you were straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is why we're here, to show people that there is a shepherd and overseer of their soul, and his name is Yeshua. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you that you are the Good Shepherd. I thank you, God, that no matter how smart I am, I can't save myself. And Lord, no matter how much I mess up, you're still there. Lord, I just ask that you would stir everyone's heart to understand how much you love them, how much you pursue them, Lord. And I just pray that you would open up hearts, people here in the room, people that are going to be listening to the message online, that you would stir their hearts to recognize their need, to recognize that we're sheep, and to search out for you. Because if we ask, we will receive. If we seek, we'll find. If we knock, the door will be opened, as you say in the book of Matthew, Lord. So we thank you, Good Shepherd. We thank you for taking care of us, because we are relatively unintelligent sheep. We're dumb sheep, Lord, and we need you. We need you in our lives. We need you to care for us. We need you to guard us, Lord, against our enemies. We need you to tend to our needs, but we need you, Lord God, to guide us and keep us in line so we don't get out of the fray, and we don't get out of the pen, and we don't get out of the gate. Lord, I just pray right now that you would show us how much you love us today. Reveal your heart to us, Lord God, and help us just to connect to you in a deeper way today. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, our shepherd, our overseer, our redeemer, and our Messiah. Thank you, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.